Hi, this is Sarah.
And this is Rachel.
And this is The Ripper Diaries, a podcast where we rip apart, episode by episode, The Vampire Diaries. Warning, this is a spoiler podcast that we're rewatching, and there's a lot of spoilers to be said in this episode.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you have never watched the series before, I mean, leave right now. This is such a big, like, I don't know, episode in the whole series that it's like...
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so much that, like, comes to light in this episode.
A complete game changer. And there's so much in this episode, I think, to hint to the future and things that we're probably going to, like, mention in relation to the future. So, yeah, if you're not caught up on the series at large, back away now while you can.
Yeah, for sure. As you probably can tell from our outfits and the way we're talking about the episode, this episode is season 2, episode 21, The Sun Also Rises.
Yeah. Yeah, big episode. I always think this episode is called The Sacrifice because is the sacrifice episode. And there is an episode called The Sacrifice that's much earlier. But they go with a very accurate Hemingway reference. Mm-hmm. One that relates a lot to this episode. I had to look it up. I haven't read the book. So the description of the book is, it's about the disillusionment of expats and, you know, the cycle that they go through and trying to get back to the normal world after, like, you know, an experience that, like, it's futile that they'll ever get to experience normal life again. Yeah. And it talks about how they're exhausted mentally and physically, and they yearn for an understanding of life after a war that changed them forever. I was like, that's
pretty accurate.
So that's your description for this episode.
We can just call it quits here. That's pretty much it.
That's pretty much it. Instead of expats, vampires. I don't know.
Yeah, same thing.
So jumping right into it, this is a continuation of the last one. So if you didn't watch the last one or listen to it, you probably should, because it goes right in. It's literally back to back. This is now the night of, and we pick up in a lot of places right where we left off.
Yeah.
In this case, we start off in the Lockwood cellar where Caroline and Matt are locked up, still fighting off Tyler. Caroline is, like, holding the gate. Tyler, in wolf form, is in hot pursuit trying to get in, and Matt doesn't think the door will hold. He's like, it's not gonna hold, and Caroline's like, it will. And Matt, shoot first, ask questions later, Donovan does what everybody thinks he has to do. What no one thinks he has to do. He shoots his best friend. He literally, granted, Tyler's in wolf form, but still, like, this is what a way to kick off this episode. So Matt shoots Tyler. But he does.
Yeah, he is in his wolf form, but he's so wild for this. Matt is so assigned cop at birth that he's like, he's just in his cop headset, even though that's, like, not going to happen for many seasons.
He's 17. And Caroline is like, stop, it's Tyler.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? And Matt's saying, it's trying to kill us, not it's. Matt, what is wrong with you? Do you call dogs? It's like, what?
Well,
he's so crazy.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It's like, okay, sure, like, Tyler's not in his person form. He's in, like, a dog or wolf form, but
it's still a living thing.
It's still a living thing, and he's like, it's trying to kill it. I don't know. It's he's just so, he's wild.
This. Yeah, so poor Tyler is in wolf form on the ground now, he's panting down heavily because he's been shot by his best friend. And Caroline unlocks the gate saying, like, they can go around him now that he's, like, out. Matt's, like, cautious, but she forces him to take her hand, and, you know, she runs off, whooshing them out of the the cellar. They're away now from Tyler. So we'll see for now.
Yeah. Also looking into things, we see back at Alaric's apartment, Damon is sort of looking at his werewolf bite on his forearm, and Catherine is sort of standing over him, also looking at it. And she remarks, like, oh, this is what a werewolf bite looks like. And, you know, she says, it doesn't really look that bad. And Damon's just like, it will be. In time, it will be.
Damon's seen this all before.
Yeah, he knows how this is all going to go down. Doesn't matter that it was just a nip. It's not going to be good. And, you know, Damon asks Catherine if she knows about any cure, but she just sort of, like, shakes her head. She doesn't really know. And Damon starts to leave, and Catherine is like, 145 years and no less, goodbye. I love her. Like, she just always has to be, like, trying to get male attention.
Oh,
she's
literally.
She can't just leave it like this. And Damon tells her, you don't get a goodbye. Mm-hmm. You don't deserve my goodbye. And Damon again, like, tries to leave, and Catherine vamp speeds in front of him and, like, puts her hand on his chest to stop him and tells him not to leave mad, which I thought was so interesting. That's such a rare moment of, like, a little glimmer of humanity from Catherine. Not, like, a big, strong emotional moment, but, like,
Yeah, Catherine and Damon have such an interesting dynamic. They both love to play how they don't care about each other at all, but then also show these moments where they actually really do care about each other. I think at the end of the day, it comes down to, like, when you've known someone over the course of 145 years, like, it's hard to not be emotionally attached to them, especially when, like, how many people have you realistically gotten to know for that long in your life? Probably very few.
Yeah.
So either way, I think you have some sort of connection to them. So yeah, it is interesting that she's like, don't leave Mad.
Yeah.
And stops him. But again, they're reminding us, like, Catherine lured Jenna out to be used as the werewolf in the sacrifice. Like, in case you forgot what happened in the last one, Jenna is going to be sacrificed because of Catherine. And Damon is reminding Catherine again that, like, she owed him. Catherine owed Damon for giving the vervain to her. Mm-hmm. And instead, Catherine is the only person that's going to walk out of this unharmed. And Elena's going to end up with a dead aunt. Which I was like, I love that Damon is, like, equating, like, his, you know, being owed from Catherine as, like, something for Elena. Like, I love how he's so protective of her and her family.
Yeah.
And Catherine says, I didn't let love get in the way. Like, that's why I'm the one getting out of this unscathed. Yeah. And Damon says, enjoy your eternity alone, Catherine.
Yeah.
Which, love, that is such a, like, a growth line for Damon for me of realizing, like, it is not all about coming out unharmed. It's not always about coming out on top. It is about, like, loving people and supporting them and being with them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what's the point of forever if you're alone?
Yeah. No, that's such a good point. I didn't even think about that way because I was more like, I'm glad Damon gets his one last dig, of course. But yeah, no, I think that's very accurate. Yeah. Yeah, so Damon gets that little dig, and then he's basically just like, I'm going to leave. He starts to walk out, and Catherine's like, what are you going to do? And not like that, not that dramatic. But she cares. Yeah, she cares. She does care. And Damon says he's going to go offer himself as a replacement for Jenna.
Yeah.
Of course. And Catherine tells him Klaus will not take him because his blood is impure due to the vampire bite, and Jenna is dead either way, which... Well, that is true. Catherine is right. But also, I really don't like this, like, his blood is impure reasoning.
Yeah.
It doesn't really make that much sense to me. I feel like they should have just said, Klaus wants him to suffer for meddling. It makes so much more sense.
That does make more sense.
He'll hallucinate and everything. So, like, and we know Klaus does have a real reason.
Yeah.
The bargaining chip with Stefan.
Klaus could have made up the impure thing.
Yeah.
As, he probably, like, whatever. I don't know. It's weird because they are, like, putting all of their blood into the thing. And having werewolf venom mixed into your vampire blood is probably not pure for, like, a witch spell.
Yeah.
It might not do anything, but, like, I don't know. It's one of those things, again, where it's like, we don't know. Ancient spells. Yeah. Who knows?
Who can be sure? But, yes.
But I agree. It would have been interesting for Klaus to be, like, suffer.
Yeah, suffer. I feel like that fits with Klaus, so, like, would have made sense. But anyway, we leave them there, and then we go, of course, to the quarry, the ritual site, where Elena and Jenna are sitting on the ground. Jenna is, like, clutching at her head.
Yeah.
She, you know, she very clearly, we know that she's transitioning to being a vampire. And she has, like, the transition headache that we saw with Vicky.
Yeah.
And Jenna's telling Elena, like, all she remembers is Elena calling her up and sounding so scared. So as soon as Jenna went to go take care of Elena, see what was wrong with Elena, someone grabbed her.
Yeah.
And then she doesn't remember anything else.
Yeah.
And Jenna asks, like, where are we? Because she doesn't even know where they are. And Elena says they're at the quarry, which, again, I forgot this is even where this takes place. I love that they've used the quarry a few times.
Yeah,
now.
I like
well, not
it.
Now, but they will.
In the show, yeah.
Yeah, in the
show. They've used it before with Damon and Stefan, I think, returned. Or, like, after they returned, they hit out, like, around here.
Oh,
so.
yeah, in 1864. Yeah,
it's an interesting, like, little locale.
Yeah, nice little Mystic Falls location. Yeah.
But yeah, Jenna is realizing that, like, she is in transition to be a vampire, and it wasn't Elena that called her. And Greta arrives to complete that transition, and Elena tries to stop her, but Greta, like, traps Elena in a circle of fire, which, love the circles of fire. That's going to stick around for the whole episode. And
I know. I was thinking throughout the whole episode, honestly. I love the visual aspects of this episode.
Yeah, it's a great visual episode.
Yeah. So many different things you could have done with the spell.
Yeah.
Like, in the sacrifice, the ritual. But, yeah, the rings of fire are just so
smart.
Good.
Especially because, like, an invisible barricade is just, like, Like, they could have just done chalk lines on the ground. I don't know. Like, that's boring.
Yeah.
The fire was so cool.
I know. I like the fire.
Although, I must say, I feel for our actors here because... they had to have been doing night shoots for like a month on end. Literally, this whole one is night. The last one had a bunch of like night, like specific daytime stuff too. And the one before, the next one is also a lot of night shots. I was like,
that's true.
These actors were getting no sleep for so long.
Yeah, that's so true. I didn't even think about that.
I noticed in one scene, like Nina had really dark under eye circles, and I was like, they're working our girl too hard. Let her sleep.
poor Nina / Elena. Fits with her character and what she's going through, though.
Yeah, she's not sleeping either. None of the characters are either, so it makes sense. But yes, so this situation is getting unavoidable. Greta is literally like cutting her wrist to offer up to Jenna for transition, and Elena's like trying to stop her. Elena's like, don't drink, Jenna, like, don't do it, which I was like, I get it a little bit, but also what's the point at this point? Like, she's already dead. She needs to transition. And at least as a vampire, she can like have a little bit more leverage than being like, when we see people in transition, they are just like these stumbly, like messy little people in pain. Like, it's sickly. It's like she needs to transition.
Yeah.
So I don't really get why she, but I think she's trying to, in denial. Like,
well, with Elena. In denial. And I think she thinks if Jenna doesn't complete the transition, she can't be the vampire.
Yeah. But like, Klaus isn't going to show up and force feed her.
I know.
It's a little silly. But again, it's like grasping at straws here in a really impossible situation.
Yeah.
But of course, Jenna does it. She drinks the blood.
Yeah. And she can't resist.
She can't resist. Yeah. We see how tempting it is as like a new vampire. And Elena's yelling and crying. And Greta then puts a fire circle around Jenna, who looks up at Elena with her vampire like eyes. And Elena says, it's going to be okay. I was already starting to like tear up and cry.
I know.
Right at the top of the episode here with Jenna just looking at Elena. Like, again, obviously, like, as a rewatcher, knowing where this is going, that's part of what makes it so sad. But, like, I don't know. It just hits, like, right here where I'm like, Jenna, no.
Yeah. I know. On a first watch, I feel like you do think, you know, they've saved so many important characters. Yeah. It's like, of course they'll save Jenna. Like, the gravity does not hit you. But, yeah, on a rewatch, it's like, oh, my God.
And they're setting up so many options for how they could save. Bonnie could still stop, and then maybe Bonnie could die. Like, on first watch, you're just like, I've got no clue who's going to die in this episode. I have no clue how this is going to go down. But as a rewatcher, we're focused on Jenna. We know.
Of course.
Yeah, and never getting Jenna back, too, is such like a, you know, man, it's just an episode. But yes, to move along, we go back to the old witch house where Jeremy and Bonnie are down in the basement. We didn't see them in the last episode. Mm-hmm. So we see now what they've been doing. They've been looking at grimoires, you know, all sorts of spells, trying to figure stuff out. In this situation, they're trying to look for a way for Elena to not become a vampire, in order for her to like die in the ritual and then stay human. So I don't know. They should have been working on this task forever, because this is going to come up again in a few months, little do they know.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. They should have been really trying to figure this out, but
not stopped the mission, but whatever.
Yeah, they do say they're not finding anything though.
Yeah, they're obviously not. This is like always an issue. It never there's never a way out of this.
No, of course.
Except for
not.
In this situation there is a little one eventually. But anyway, Elijah, Stefan, and Alaric arrive. They're outside. Elijah is explaining again, you know, again, we're doing lots of explaining at the top here to try to, like, reset up the new episode of explaining how the sacrifice works, the order that it's going to happen in, literally how things are going to go down. And the plan is that as soon as Elena dies in the sacrifice, Klaus will start to trigger his transition into a werewolf. Mm-hmm. And as soon as that happens, Bonnie can appear to bring him to the brink of death. And when he is there, Elijah will finish the job. That's the plan.
Which, whoa. We need to pause here, because I thought the whole point was a witch has to do it. I thought Klaus could only die at the hands of like nature's servant.
Yeah, I feel like it's a little weird. I think it's like the witch can destabilize and make him so vulnerable that then Elijah could do it.
Yeah,
I guess
they've just been making it sound like so far it has to be at like Bonnie's hands. It has to be Bonnie who pulls out the heart, drives the stake into his heart, whatever.
Yeah,
they make it sound like it really needs to be done by Bonnie. So this always makes me be like, wait. Thought Klaus could only be killed by a witch.
Yeah. Also, why does Elijah have to do it? Stefan couldn't do it. Another vampire couldn't do it if he's already on the brink of death.
Yeah.
I know Elijah wants to do it, obviously, and that's what they're allowing him. But
yeah.
It feels like they could have done this without him. So I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't know. Interesting. We don't know what Elijah's telling them, though. There might be like...
That's true.
Guess we got to do it. We got to do it this way.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, Stefan gets a call from Damon at this point, who, of course, Damon is letting him know that Klaus is going to use Jenna as the vampire in the ritual. And as soon as Stefan hears this, he immediately looks at Alaric, who just, like, breaks my heart. Alaric's,
I know.
Like, he realizes, like, that he's looking at him, and Alaric's like, what? Like, what is What's going wrong? On?
Yeah. Ugh.
So sad. This episode is really just building to...
I know.
To so much.
Yeah.
So emotional.
Yeah. And as Alaric asks, like, what's wrong, and he's looking at Stefan, Stefan's looking at him, we just hear, like, on the phone, Damon say, Jenna is going to be the vampire in the ritual.
Yeah.
Because before, Damon's sort of, like, building up to it.
Yeah.
And then...
And then they get dropped that. And then it cuts straight to the sacrifice where Jenna is a vampire now in the ritual. And she's kind of, like, describing to Elena, like, what it's like to be a vampire. She's describing how she feels, what her senses are like. And Elena explains to Jenna at this point that vampires can turn off their emotions, that there's a human part that hurts, and that's the part that you can turn off and not feel. Because Jenna's kind of saying that she can feel that there's a part inside of her that doesn't want to feel any of this.
Yeah.
And so Elena's explaining that to her. And Jenna starts crying, realizing that, like, she's gonna die. Like, she's literally about to die. And Elena says she won't let that happen. Elena is making promises she can't keep.
Always.
Always. And Greta appears now dragging Jules in. Clearly, Jules is going to be the werewolf in the ritual, which Elena is just assuming. She doesn't know Jules. It's kind of weird that, like, we know Jules so well.
Yeah, I forgot Elena has never seen her or met Jules, I guess.
Yeah, so she had no clue. They never cross paths, which I guess makes sense.
Makes sense, sure.
And so Greta tells Jules that she put a spell on her to slow down her transition, because she's still in human form. We've seen, well, Tyler's already a wolf, obviously. Yeah, he's been biting at Caroline and Matt for who knows how long.
Yeah, exactly.
As long as it takes Matt to decide to shoot him, apparently. And so...
Which could be 1 minute, honestly.
Yeah, we don't know. And so Jules is still in human form because Greta has done this spell in order to, like, stop her from turning. But this is putting Jules in extreme pain. Greta says that her insides are trying to tear themselves free. Yeah. Which I was like, psychotic.
Oh my god, okay. Greta.
Yeah, she's insane. So Greta puts a third ring of fire around Jules. This is the visual that I really love of the three. Yeah, when it's
just all three of them. It looks so good.
It feels so witchy. I feel like three is like a big number for like witches and magic. And I really liked the visuals of all three of the women inside the circles of fire. Then at this point, Elena gets a little lectury to Greta.
Oh, yeah.
she says, Greta, witches are supposed to maintain the balance in nature. It's your duty to keep this curse sealed. I was like, I get it, Elena. We are grasping at straws. We are doing anything we can.
Definitely.
But I was like, just funny. I was like, this is not the way to do it.
Yeah. She
does not care.
Yeah, no. And Greta is like, she's like, my duty is to Klaus and the new order. Which, like, chill. Come on.
It's
the
giving,
new order. It's getting cult.
It's giving Nazis. The Nazis were literally the new order is the thing that they used to preach. I was like, Greta.
Yeah. It's so, I don't know. They have Greta be so, like, borderline brainwashed that I'm like, I don't know. I feel like they're trying to use it to, like, enhance Klaus being, like, the big bad.
Yeah, they are. But I'm trying to make it seem like he has, like, like a political party type of strength. Like, he has, like, a whole legion.
I don't know
if it works. I kind of like the thing that the next line leans into, which is more so like the crush, you know, in love with Klaus vibe.
Because
Klaus arrives right after she says this, and he says, glad to know I still have a dance partner.
Because, I do like that. Cute. Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, that makes more sense to lean into of just like she's infatuated with him or something. Yeah. That I would buy a little bit easier.
Yeah, which I think is probably what they're trying to do, but they're totally in line where it's like culty. Yeah,
it's weird. But anyway, so Klaus looks at Elena, then Jenna and Jules, and he says, hello, my lovelies. Are we ready? So respectful.
I know. It's like, he's like, oh, on your terms, if you're ready to go. Yeah.
Lovelies. He's so, he can do no wrong.
On the other hand,
let's say your Damon apologist arc is growing strong and mine is just beginning for Klaus.
I love it.
He's perfect.
I love Klaus too. He is.
We'll ignore some later stuff, though.
Yeah. Someone who can do only wrong in my eyes.
True.
Caroline and Matt have made it to the Lockwood Mansion. They've locked themselves inside. And Caroline, at this point, finally, like, you know, gets a chance to ask Matt, how do you even know, like, what's going on? Because he had the wooden bullets, if you remember from last episode.
And he shot Tyler. And he's just off the rails.
He killed a witch.
Yeah, he killed a witch. He killed Maddox. Yeah. And Matt at this point reveals the honeypot scheme with Liz. He's like, I got whatever. He talked to Liz, you know. And Caroline's like, what? You told my mom? Like, what does she think? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I'm like, whatever. Let's move on.
Matt's just loading his rifle and getting ready. And Caroline's like, let's talk about me.
Yeah, exactly.
I love Caroline, but they had nothing to do for her in this episode. So they were just making it about her love life and her mom. I was like, this is not a good plot for this episode.
No, I know.
Let's move it along.
Yeah. Nothing more to say on that. Yeah.
It's basically just that like Matt's just like, we're stuck in this house trying to like, Tyler's trying to maul us to death. And it's like, okay, just move along, guys. We're fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we see back at the Salvatore house, Damon just like went home. I don't know what he was doing here. But he went home and he's like stumbling to the front door where somebody's like knocking, knocking, knocking. Mm-hmm. And the werewolf bite is clearly kicking in. He is, like, stumbling around. He even checks, and you see it's starting to get bigger. It was a very small nip, like, at first in the last episode, but it's definitely, like, growing.
Yeah.
So he answers the door.
And he looks at the werewolf bite, and he's like, whoa. And
he's, like, he's out of it.
He's losing it. Yeah.
He is out of it. And so, yeah, he opens the door, and he sees Uncle John is at the door.
Oh, my God. Could this day get any worse for Damon?
Yeah, that's Damon's vibe for sure. I was watching my producer, Shay, and she forgot. And she was like, oh, this guy. I was like, great.
Yeah, exactly.
We all had the same reaction.
Yeah. And John shows up, and he's like, I need to see Elena. She hasn't answered my calls for days, which... Damn, Elena, that's cold. Elena knows she's, like, probably going to die, and she can't even answer John's call. Yeah,
well, she gave Elijah her phone for a whole day, so that's one of them.
I guess that's true.
But still.
But, yeah, and Damon just goes, well, you're a day late and a daughter short, John.
So, like, not comforting at all.
No, I know. We're building up that sympathy for John. Even here, I was like, poor John. He's just trying to find Elena.
They really know how to switch up on a character for real.
Yeah. And John is like, what? Like, what's going on? And Damon tells John that the ritual is going down tonight. John is, of course, outraged. He's like, the sum total of your duties were to keep Elena safe. How could you let this happen? And of course, Damon is like, I did keep her safe. I fed her my blood. And of course, we know John. He's even more outraged than before. And John tells Damon that he ruined Elena's life, blah, blah, blah. And Damon is like, of course, I know that. And you know what? It actually gets worse. Yeah. And John is like, how could it possibly get any worse?
Cut to Jenna.
How it's getting worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, we see Jules, Elena, and Jenna are all still in their rings of fire. Jules is, like, still in pain. And we see up on, like, an overlook, like, some sort of, like, hill. Klaus is getting out the moonstone from his pocket, and he's giving it to Greta. But he's like, I looked for this for so long, I almost don't even want to part with it. I'm like, I feel like that is a good little line to throw in there.
Yeah.
And Greta drops it into this bowl, like, filled with flames. And the moonstone is destroyed.
Yeah,
and
like
Greta,
sparks. This is the one time a magic show is a real thing.
Yeah, this time it's real. Yeah, we have the rings of fire and everything. This one's real.
Yeah.
And Greta starts a spell. And Klaus goes over to Jules's like ring of fire. And at this point, Jules is sort of talking to Elena. And she tells Elena that everything she ever did was for Tyler because she didn't want him to be alone. And in the middle of this, this is when Elena's like, are you Jules?
I get
that Elena's never seen or met Jules before, but this is a wild line for her to be like,
yeah, she didn't
are you
need
Jules?
To ask that.
Yeah.
But it's so, this is where you feel bad for Jules. Yeah. Obviously, like her whole arc, we were like, who cares? Jules is the worst. But they do turn it around right here where you're like, she just wanted to help Tyler and she has to die for it.
Yeah.
Like if she hadn't come to bring him back, she would be alive.
Yeah.
So sad.
You do feel for her a little bit.
You do. Especially now you see Klaus approaching Jules, ready to go. The ring of fire drops, just completely disappears. And Jules immediately rushes at Klaus.
Yeah.
Like, fight back, I guess, to try to like stop him.
Yeah.
But of course he pins her down and he rips out her heart.
Yeah, he plunges his hand into her chest, tears out her heart, and he's like, I love this shot. This is like another John Baring episode. He popped off. There's like an like upward angle at Klaus as after he rips out the heart, and he's like panting and the blood is dripping. So well done.
So well done. Yeah,
Jules is
dead. Jenna and Elena, we see like gasp in shock, like yeah. this is the first death of the night, so obviously it's like it's serious yeah. now. It's all going down.
Yep.
And you can see like Jules, her dead body, like laying on the ground. She has a tear running down like yeah. the side of her face. And yes, Klaus looking triumphant and bloody heart in hand, ready to get this ritual going.
Yeah.
Sad. Back at the old witch house, from the extremely emotional to now
yeah.
Bonnie and Jeremy flirting.
Oh, we my had God.
To switch up to that. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, there's so much whiplash in this episode.
There's a lot of whiplash. Jeremy is like reading Emily's grimoire, mm-hmm. and he says like he's looking, he remembers a section of spells from Jonathan Gilbert's journal that like Emily had done for him or something. I don't know. But he's saying that Emily and John had like a bond, and Bonnie's like, yeah, I think he had a thing for him, and they kind of smile at each other. People are dying, Bonnie and Jeremy. People are dead. What is wrong with you two?
They kill me.
So Alaric shows up to deliver the bad news, unfortunately. He comes down and he asks if he can have yeah. a moment alone with Jeremy. And he says, like, it's about Jenna.
Yeah.
I'm already full on crying at this point.
Oh,
in the
my
rewatch.
God.
I was
I
already,
know.
Like, a mess. Could barely see my notes. I think we've already talked about this, but, like, again, the first time you've watched it, you're kind of just holding out hope. You're not really reacting to this stuff. Yeah. But as you rewatch, you're like, it's just getting worse and worse and
I
worse.
I know. Yeah.
And so Bonnie leaves them alone to talk, and she goes outside, and she's being told by Stefan and Elijah, obviously, that, you know, Jenna's going to be the vampire. And Elijah, this is when he says that it's a punishment for Damon meddling, that, you know, Klaus is going to use Jenna. Yeah. And Bonnie's like, let's go now. Let me take yeah. out Klaus before he even kills Jenna. But Stefan says, like, you know, Bonnie will still die if she does that. And yeah. Bonnie and Jenna don't need to die. So Stefan offers the alternative. He says, we're going to offer another vampire, one that he'll want more, me, which I was like, so Stefan's going to offer himself up, drama. But then also, Stefan, why would Klaus want you more? What are you talking about?
I thought about this line, too, because I was like, all right, Stefan, chill. I was thinking, if it is a punishment for Damon, it does make more sense to kill Stefan.
That's true.
Like, if that rationale is correct. It does.
Yeah, I mean,
also,
punishment.
Yeah, Stefan doesn't know that he's Klaus's boyfriend. Like, he doesn't yeah. know.
He doesn't
so,
know these things.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I thought that where I was just like, why would it? I guess it would punish Elena just as much, but I don't
well,
know.
She'll be dead,
like,
so that's,
way.
In Klaus's mind, it doesn't matter about yeah. punishing Elena,
I
guess. I
guess
but,
it's more about Damon, but still, I was like, weird logic, but
weird,
okay.
Yeah, just a weird way to phrase it, but
yeah.
sure.
It's not all about you, Stefan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody in this whole episode thinks it's about them. Damon, Elena, Stefan, Caroline.
Yeah.
Matt.
Yeah. It's really not, but
it's
yeah.
all about Jenna.
It is all about Jenna, yeah. Back with Jenna at the ritual. We see that, like, Greta is still chanting the spell, and Klaus is holding, like, Jules's heart over, like, the ceremonial bowl, mm-hmm. just some sort of bowl, and he's, like, squeezing the blood into the flames, and Greta tells him, like, the spell is working, because we see, like, you know, the blood in the bowl is bubbling, mm-hmm. which, also, this is just another visual, I'm like, killed it. Like,
yeah.
his bloody hand, the bowl of bubbling blood.
Amazing. Such a great episode. Everything
Amazing.
About it.
So many visual aspects, and they just nailed every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, like, we go over to Jenna and Elena, and Jenna is starting to tell Elena about when the lawyers called her mm-hmm. and asked Jenna to be Elena and Jeremy's guardian. And Jenna says her first thought was, can't somebody else do this? And Elena tells her, like, there's nobody else who could have gotten me and Jeremy through. Like, starting to get my voice is cracking.
No.
Elena tells Jenna that there is no one else that could have gotten her and Jeremy through the loss of their parents. And Jenna sort of emphasizes, like, just the thought that I almost passed up on that opportunity. Oh my God, I don't know why. This scene really gets me. I teared up watching this earlier. But just the thought that she could pass up on this opportunity. And Elena is like, but you didn't. You didn't. You took care of us and you were there for us. You put your whole life on hold for us.
Mm-hmm.
And Jenna is just like, she's so defeated. She's like, I failed you. And Elena at this point says, no, I'm the one who failed you.
Yeah.
Oh, both of them. They're just so. Oh.
Yeah. Well, but, it's so sad because Jenna, like, she says, look around, Elena.
Yeah.
I failed you. Like,
yeah.
in reference to the fact that they are literally about to both die together in a ritual right now.
Yeah.
And obviously that's something Jenna just could have had no control over. She found out about this
yeah.
24 hours ago, maybe less than. And then, yeah, Elena saying, you didn't, I failed you, is like, Elena, you kind of did a little bit. Yeah, I think if Elena had at least told Jenna about all of this sooner, Jenna might have been wise to the Catherine playing Elena tricks.
I know. Might not have went out of the house.
I don't know. I'm like, I don't want to blame Elena because it sucks all around.
It's terrible.
But
realistically,
I do think
that, nothing she could have done really would have probably prevented it.
If Klaus had his heart set on getting a Jenna or even anybody else, he would have done
it. He would have done it.
But, yeah, obviously it's like I just, you know, we've been harping all season. Elena should have involved Jenna a lot sooner than she did, and that would have changed her trajectory for sure.
Yeah.
So sad. So sad there.
Yeah.
A little break from the sad, always offering us some other vibes. Matt and Caroline at the Lockwood House. Matt is on the edge, looking out the window.
Oh, my
God. Gun at the ready. This man is like, I don't know. He's on something. He just wants to shoot something, I think, at this point. They know Tyler isn't dead because Caroline, like, says, like, he's a wolf. Like, it's going to take more to kill him.
Yeah, exactly.
So she just starts asking about her mom. She's like, back to me. And Matt says, like, I don't think your mom knows what to do with you, Caroline.
Yeah.
And Caroline's like, I don't know what to do with me. But I hate the way he phrases that. I don't think your mom knows what to do with you. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just don't. Anti-Matt episode, for sure.
For sure.
And then they hear a noise outside the door, and Caroline opens it, and they see Tyler is now in his human form, laying on the, you know, doorstep naked, and Caroline takes Matt's jacket to cover him up, and she starts comforting him, telling him he's okay. So, Matt's horror night is over.
Yeah, Matt can take a breath. He can put down the gun and chill the fuck out.
Yeah, for real.
Oh my God.
This man.
Yeah.
Boy.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the plot that actually matters to me. The witch house. Stefan and Elijah are there outside the house, and Stefan tells Elijah that he's headed over to the quarry now, and Stefan tells Elijah to follow with Bonnie when it's time, and because it's very important that Klaus doesn't see Bonnie before it's time to kill him. So as Stefan goes to leave, Elijah remarks to him, like, you're very honorable, which, I don't know, I liked that line. I was like, I like this little acknowledgement. But Stefan pauses and kind of, like, takes a step back because he was walking away. And is like, but are you? Like, are you? And Stefan goes on to explain, like, I've wanted to kill Damon 1,000 times, but I've never been able to do so.
Yeah.
And we already talked about this in, like, one of the last few episodes. Why is this just coming up now? I feel like this should have been brought up, like, truly, truly, like, from the get-go, especially from Stefan and Damon, because they probably have both wanted to kill each other.
It really is shocking, like, because he says in the scene, like, Klaus is your brother, like, I've wanted to kill mine 1,000 times and never done it. Like, it's crazy that they wait until this, like, the are you,
because
this whole plan is contingent on your honor, Elijah, on you doing what you said you're gonna do.
Exactly. I guess they were just putting a ton of faith in, like Elijah being an honorable person. I don't know.
They were, I think. Well, and at this point, obviously now, if Stefan actually questioning him is like, we're so far in, there's no alternate. There's no alternate plan. There's no alternate. They have nothing else to focus on other than trying to save Jenna at this point.
Yeah.
So, and also they're still trying to save Elena from not becoming a vampire downstairs. So
too much going on.
There's too much going on.
Yeah.
And
Elijah does go on to explain, which, again, I think Stefan just accepts this response. Elijah goes on to explain that Klaus is not his only brother. Klaus hunted down the rest of his family, his siblings, his parents, everyone, and scattered their bodies across the sea so that they couldn't be found.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. I also just feel like Elijah should know Klaus just didn't throw their bodies to sea. As we see, like, in the next season and in the originals especially, Klaus loves daggering, undaggering, daggering, undaggering. He's always got a sibling in a coffin. I feel like Elijah should know he did not just throw them to sea, but...
Yeah, some of them have been in there a really long time, though, and at what point are you just like...
Too much cargo. Yeah. Gotta get rid of this one. I guess,
And Klaus has grown so paranoid about Michael over the years that I guess there's, like, that factor, too. But, yeah, I don't know. We don't know a lot about, like, what really caused the massive rift in between Elijah and Klaus. We don't have a lot of info in what's happened between, like, the 20s or so till now.
Yeah.
So, we don't know what conversations they might have had that has really, truly led Elijah to actually believe that he did this.
Yeah.
But they're really telling us this as, like, I think, setup. Like, this is a great season 3 setup and a great setup for what happens at the very end of this episode, obviously.
Yeah.
And so, like we said, at this point in the game, like, Stefan has no choice but to be like, okay, cool. Like, so you just want revenge. Let's do this thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and Elijah gives him the little line, sometimes there is honor in revenge. Yes. Which I really liked.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And Elijah says, I won't fail you.
Yeah. So they leave. They head out to go do what Stefan leaves to go try to trade himself for Jenna.
Yeah.
In the house, we see John has arrived, and he shows up downstairs with the Gilbert journals for Jeremy and Bonnie to look for these spells that they need. And upstairs, Alaric tells Damon that Stefan went to switch places with Jenna. Damon is obviously extremely frustrated with this, and I do really sympathize with Damon in this episode. Like, everybody's just trying to, like, get themselves killed, and he's got to save everybody. It's just so much, like...
While hallucinating. Yeah.
Like, obviously, Bonnie shouldn't have to die, because that's Damon's only answer to any of this is, like, well, let Bonnie go die.
True.
But, like, now Stefan's trying to die, too. Like...
Can't catch a break.
Yeah, can't catch a break for real. And it's also probably worse now, Damon knowing that he's probably going to die from the werewolf bite, too. That makes all of this so much worse.
Yeah.
So he punches the wall, which... He's definitely off balance, falling over when he punches the wall. And, yeah, the werewolf venom is affecting him. Even Alaric is like...
Are you good?
Yeah. Like, bro, what's going on? Yeah. You don't look so good. And Damon says that he is. And then he, like, says he has to go clean up his brother's mess and just runs off.
Yeah.
Like, got stuff to do.
Yeah. Back at the ritual site, we see, like, Klaus moving toward Jenna's ring of fire. And Elena is pleading with him one last time, like, let Jenna go. We can't leave Jeremy without a family. Like, which, oh, I never remember that this will impact Jeremy this much.
I know.
I'm like, just, oh. But anyway, as Elena's, like, making this plea, Klaus is like, well, I don't recall you being on the guest list. We don't really see what he's talking about, but then... Klaus sort of looks up, and then Elena looks up toward that, like, overlook we saw before, and then there's just Stefan.
So, okay, I'm glad this made you laugh, too, because Shay and I were dying. We were like, this is so funny. It's not supposed to be, but it is. He's just really luring not. Over, like, the proceedings.
Yeah, no, it's...
There's a lot of jokes in this, because also one, when Elena's, like, pleading to Klaus not to kill Jenna, she's, like, walking forward, she walks into the fire barricade, and Klaus is like, careful, I was dying. I'm like, this is so serious, and I'm crying, but I'm also laughing.
I know, I'm like, I feel like there were a couple points of, like comedic moments of relief.
You need the relief. This is such a stressful episode. Just stressful in that, again, you don't know who's going to die at what point. And as we see here, Stefan is literally arriving to try to trade with Jenna.
To try to die, yeah.
Yeah, to try to die. But yeah, so the serious moment of him arriving is a little undercut for some reason. I don't know if it's the shot, the way he stands, what it is, but it's funny.
Yeah.
And Stefan says to Klaus that he is here to talk. And Klaus is like, okay. And he vamp speeds to the top of the cliff to, like, talk to him. And Klaus says, what can I do for you, Mr. Salvatore? Klaus loves his boyfriend.
He does.
So excited that he's there.
He's so funny. I know. I love Klaus and Stefan.
Yeah, such a goofy little relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of goofy little relationship, Bonnie and Jeremy are still in this witch house. But they're with John now. And they're telling Damon that they found a spell that could bind a parent's life force to the child's. And they tell a story about when they had done this spell previously for, like, a mother and her daughter. And that this spell will work if Elena's soul remains intact. Damon is, of course, skeptical. He's like, you're going to believe this, like, faith, witchy mumbo jumbo.
Mm-hmm.
And John is just like, I cannot allow Elena to become the one thing I've been trying to protect her against.
Yeah.
Classic John, prejudiced up until the last moment.
Yeah.
But anyway, they're trying to save Elena, and they're kind of like, okay, sure, we'll go along with this. But then we cut back to the ritual site, of course, and we see Stefan and Klaus are talking on, like, that, like, cliff overlook thing still, and Jenna and Elena are looking up at them, trying to figure out what's going on, like, what they're saying. And at this point, Elena is trying to explain vampire hearing to Jenna and telling her to, like, focus on what they're saying. And while they're trying to figure that out, we cut to Stefan and Klaus up on the overlook saying, Klaus is like, what's going on? And Stefan is trying, he just says, he's like, I want to take Jenna's place.
Yeah.
Stefan is telling him his proposition. And Klaus is like, but I rather appreciate the symmetry of three women, three goddesses, sacrificed at nature's altar. I'm like, I know he's literally going to kill them, like, right now, But I love him.
I love him.
I'm obsessed. I'm like, three goddesses sacrifice at nature's altar.
He makes it sound so beautiful. I'm like, I know. Can I be one of them?
Like, I know. I'm like, what a worthy cause.
Yeah. He's so serious and so unserious at the same time. It's like, well, I love him. He's so perfect.
Exactly. Yeah, I know. So many moments of like slight comedic relief in this episode come from Klaus being so serious but unserious.
Yeah, I love him.
Yeah, love the three goddesses. So, and I'm like, I also appreciate that symmetry. So I guess it's okay. And we cut back to Jenna and Alina, and Jenna is trying to focus on their conversation and do the vampiring. And she finally is able to do it, and she catches like a few lines of Stefan and Klaus's conversation. And she realizes what's going on, and you can see it on her face. And Jenna tells Alina that Stefan came to take her place in the ritual.
Yeah.
And Alina is very clearly in shock and just sort of like looks up at Stefan.
Yeah. The position this puts Alina in is just terrible. Yeah. Like, either she's going to have to like be sacrificed with her aunt or with her boyfriend. Like, it's such a lose-lose. Again, everyone is in a lose-lose situation all around here except for Klaus.
Yeah.
It's such an unfortunate thing for her to deal with. Yeah. But I will say, her makeup looks so good.
Oh my God, yeah.
I thought it in this scene like specifically because they're doing a lot of close-ups so you could see it. And then also the fire, it puts this orange light on her that looks so good. I was like, Nina looks great in like an orangey red light. It really flatters her. So
yeah, she does look beautiful.
She's going through a terrible time, but she looks great doing it. So
how bad could it be? No, it's still really so
bad.
Terrible. Yeah.
It's still really bad. Just at least she looks good, I guess. But anyway, at the Lockwood house, speaking of comedic relief, speaking of ridiculous things, Matt is like sitting waiting in the parlor, and Caroline comes out to him saying that Tyler is asleep and that he should be fine in the morning. And Matt is like, so this is your life now. And he says that like the past few days with her have been really fun. They've been so Caroline. This sounds like a breakup already.
To like pop off. He's been shooting things left and right. He's been like, I'm having a blast. Yeah.
I've been telling your mom everything you've been doing. I've been lying to your face. I've had a great time. Like, what? But anyway. So unserious. And he said he thought maybe he could get over this whole vampire thing, but like, he doesn't really finish, but like, clearly he's on the fence about it. It's like, clearly he's not settling well with this.
Yeah.
But the scene is just so weird to me. He's like, I get it. This is your life now, but you know what my life is? Yeah. My life is an absentee mom and a bunch of bills to pay and school and a job, and it sucks sometimes, but it's my life.
Yeah.
And then he says, and I think I just want to live like without all of this stuff.
Without basically the supernatural stuff. Yeah.
Which I have a lot of sympathy for Matt in all of those things, but I'm also like, I don't know. Those things don't sound like appealing to choose that as your life. Like, Matt, you have no support system. You have no family. Yeah. You have no money. Wouldn't a vampire be like a good alternative? You know, like Elena's one where I'm like, it's funny. I feel like in the last one you were very like, why doesn't she want to be a vampire? It seems great. That's how I feel about Matt. I'm like, Matt, Elena has like a life. Elena wants to be a mom. Like, Elena like wants these things that being a vampire won't like. But I'm like,
offer her. Yeah.
Matt, I do think your life would be better if you were a vampire. I'm going to be real with you right now.
Yeah. Well, he has no emotion. Like, he never has any emotion at all. So he'd be fine. So, like, I guess he's like, what would be amplified? Just being dull, I guess. I don't know. No, I'm kidding. I don't know why. I'm being mean, lashing out, because this is such an upsetting episode.
It is an upsetting episode. There's little to talk about with the Matt stuff here. We're grasping at straws with him. But
yeah, definitely. But I do sympathize with what he's saying. And I think, like, you know, Caroline seems sad at what he's saying, but I'm sure she gets it too. Like,
yeah, I mean, I guess the thing is, for as bad as Matt's life is, I don't know, the shooting Tyler and the running around at night seems pretty worse. So, I don't know. I guess I get what he's saying, but still.
Sure.
Anyway, back at the old witch house in the basement, Bonnie is now officially doing the spell with Uncle John to prep to save Elena's life, to like tie their life bonds together. And Damon is impatient. He's snapping his fingers.
Like, let's go.
He's like, we've got a hybrid to kill. Let's go. And Bonnie says she's done. She like, you know, backs off. And Damon just leaves. He's like, let's go. And, you know, she says to Jeremy, I'll be back soon. And Jeremy's like,
I'm coming with you. What are you talking about? Yeah. And she's like, it's not safe. Like, you can't come. And Jeremy says he's not taking no for an answer. Like, he's coming. Mm-hmm. So Bonnie gives him a little kiss. Suddenly,
got him.
Yeah, got him. He like smiles and then he looks really confused and then he just drops to the ground. But John catches him.
Yeah, John does.
John
catch
catches him
yeah.
and sets him like on a chair. But I was like,
yeah,
I love Bonnie. That I was know. Great. That was so good.
Yeah, she's so funny for that. But yeah. Yeah, John like moves him over to a chair and says he'll stay with him. Mm-hmm. And Bonnie goes upstairs and, you know, Elijah is like, it's time. So Elijah's on his way. Damon and Bonnie go out of the house. And Alaric goes to try to follow them because he's been here at the witch house too. But he hits an invisible barrier. He's been spelled to stay inside the witch house, of yeah. course. And he's clearly not very happy about this. But yeah. Damon is like, we don't need to put anyone else at risk. Like,
yeah.
it's just not worth it. It's the same reason for Jeremy. It's like,
yeah.
you're human. It is not yeah. worth bringing you.
Well, because also, like, when Alaric's trying to walk out, he's like, I've got the weapons ready to go in the yeah. car. And Elijah's like, Bonnie's the only weapon we need.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Alaric is completely, like, out of his water here, out of his depths. Like, this is not, there's nothing yeah. you can do to help.
Yeah.
But yeah, Alaric feels very bad. He says, he's like, I can't stay in the house while Jenna is out there in danger. Yeah. Like,
This
I feel
do,
for him here.
Yeah, this I do sympathize with. I don't think they would have made it in time for him to really, like, see Jenna again and talk to her again.
No.
But I'm still like, this is sad that he doesn't even have the opportunity to try to
help her. I understand from his perspective wanting to help her, but yeah, he definitely wouldn't have.
Yeah, he would not have helped her. But it would definitely feel terrible to be like, okay, well, I can't do anything.
Yeah. But yeah, I love Bonnie for this, for knocking out Jeremy, then locking Alaric out of the house. Girl power. Like,
yeah, this is a good Bonnie episode, I think.
This is a great Bonnie episode. Yeah. But also, what did they think? They were going to take a busload of people to the set. I'm like, Jeremy and Alaric were like, who's driving the bus? Like,
yeah, they have like seven a people figured out. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a funny that they were like, we're all going. We all need to be yeah. there.
When the whole plan is like, we need to be discreet.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, Team Bayman rise. Bonnie and Damon putting their things in motion and holding strong together. But we know yeah. who's getting an F on her next history paper for real, because yeah. Laura's not going to forget about this one.
True.
From the funny back to the serious. Yeah. The way we just go into silence mode, like, we don't want to talk about this.
Yeah, there's just so much to say. But
there's so much to say. So back to the sacrifice.
Yeah.
Klaus and Stefan come back down from on top of the cliff. I love how the mood just immediately has dropped. We're like, oh no.
Yeah.
And Klaus says to Elena, who's it going to be? Which, again, so unserious telling Elena to choose between Stefan and Jeremy.
Oh my
here,
God, yeah.
Or Jeremy, Jenna.
Well, especially because, yeah, Klaus is kind of silly, goofy. Yeah, he tells her to choose. And then Elena is like, no. Like, I'm not going to choose. And Klaus is just like, well, good. You didn't have a choice anyway.
He's like, don't worry. No choice. And Klaus vamp speeds and stakes yeah. Stefan in the back, yep. knocking him out, like, to the ground. And Klaus says, I have other plans for your boyfriend. I want him alive. Which, love the setup, obviously.
Yeah.
I love any hint yeah. to, like, the future episodes. It's always nice. But I feel like on the first watch, you're like, so much is happening. You're not even noticing. You're like, Klaus's plans, who cares?
Yeah,
like,
he could
what
have
is about
any plan.
To happen?
Yeah.
And so Klaus tells Greta, ready when you are, start the next phase. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, like, Greta does start chanting, and she drops the barrier of fire around Jenna, and Elena is screaming no, and Jenna turns to her and says, it's all right, Elena, I know what I have to do.
Oh.
Jenna's pretty smart here. She goes for Greta, which yep. is, you know, she learned from Jules going after Klaus, like, that's not gonna work.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, she goes to bite Greta's neck, which doesn't kill her. Klaus is able to, like, stop Jenna and pull her off before that.
Yeah.
She should have snapped Greta's neck, but she probably didn't know that was an option, I
yeah,
guess.
Yeah, probably not.
And so it's like Jenna is thrown on the ground.
Yeah.
Klaus
yeah,
gets
Klaus
on top
looks,
of her.
Yeah, stabbed her in the side to get her off of Greta.
Yep. And so he is, like, over her at the ready. Elena is yelling, and she tells Jenna to turn it off. That you won't be scared anymore if you turn off your emotions. And I guess Jenna does. You kind of, your eyes are welling
they're
up.
They're glassy.
Rachel is looking teary-eyed already.
I'm fine.
You're not even the one talking. You're just
listening. I know. I'm just listening. I'm like, oh. Anyway.
Oh, boy. Anyway, so you kind of see Jenna, like, turn off her emotions and not be so scared.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Klaus stakes Jenna in the heart. And you hear Elena screaming, no, Jenna, no.
Yeah.
That no, Jenna, is like seared into my brain.
I know.
Like hear that right now. Like it's such a painful like scream, and then it of course zooms in on Jenna's face as it slowly turns gray and starts to desiccate.
Yeah,
and it's just so devastating. And of course Elena is fully crying by now, as we like see the wide shot of Jenna's body like decaying.
Mm-hmm.
And Klaus stands up and we see the like stake in her heart, and with that Elena has officially had to watch her fourth parental figure die directly in front of her eyes, which I said it 1,000 times this episode already, but it's like so sympathetic to Elena. This is just awful.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I cannot imagine anything worse. But yeah, at this, Greta keeps going on with the spell, of course, because, you know, that's the next step. And at this point, Stefan sort of like comes back to life and he's like trying to get the stake out of his back, but it's like right in the middle and he can't reach it. So he's like still down for the count. And Stefan at this point sees Jenna and he just says, no.
Yeah, so sweet. And he sees Elena fully, like, crying.
Yeah, yeah. And the spell is still going on through all of this. Greta, like, dumps Jenna's blood into the bowl. And then Stefan tries to tell Elena that he is so sorry.
Again, Stefan apologizing. You didn't do anything, Stefan.
Baby, you did nothing wrong. He tried to do everything right.
I love how 2 episodes ago we were like, Stefan sucks.
I know, Stefan. But now I'm like,
I love him.
I know. I do love him in these last episodes.
Yeah.
They sent him out on a really high note.
They do.
But anyway, so Stefan is just like, no. And he tries to apologize and everything. But Elena is like shushing him. And she's saying, you know, are they still going to come kill Klaus?
Mm-hmm.
And she's whispering it, of course, because obviously Klaus has vampire hearing. And Stefan whispers back, yes. Yeah. And at this point, Klaus goes over to Elena's circle of fire and says that it's time. The circle of fire disappears from around Elena. And at this point, Klaus extends his hand toward Elena to, like, you know, take her hand and walk her over.
Mm-hmm.
And Elena obviously looks pissed, upset, every emotion, and just ignores the hand and walks right past him out of the ring of fire and makes her way over to the altar. And she looks down at Jenna's body, and Klaus follows her and grabs Elena. And Stefan is like watching this. He's struggling to get up and he still can't because the stake is still in his back.
Yeah.
And Klaus like turns to Elena, like turns her face toward him and thanks her. He thanks Elena for participating in this. And Elena just tells him to go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
I love her little defiance, even though she can't do much here. At least she's doing that.
At least
that.
She can be sassy.
Yeah. And Stefan is still trying to like get up when Klaus starts feeding on Elena. Obviously, Stefan is helpless. He cannot get that out of his back, and he's stuck on the ground. And Klaus is draining Elena's blood, and Stefan can do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And Klaus is holding Elena tightly, like, as his eyes start to get veinier, and Elena's eyelids start to, like, flutter, and her eyes roll back. She's clearly, like, the life is being drained out of her. And Klaus is, like, holding her
very intimately.
Yeah, very intimately. I'll leave it at that since this is such a serious moment. But, wow, okay. And, yeah, Klaus eventually, like, you know, once Elena's eyes have rolled back and she's definitely drained of blood, Klaus releases her. And if you didn't know already that she was dead, Elena just falls to the ground and blood drips from Klaus's mouth. And the flame in the bowl goes out and Elena's body is just on the ground. Stefan is like staring at her sadly. Elena is very clearly dead.
Mm.
And Klaus at this point says he can feel it happening and he starts to transform. You know, he has like the body spasms where his bones are cracking and he's screaming, yes, yes, like, you know, very evil villain like. And at this point, like, he's like screaming, yes, yes, and he sort of like flies through the air at this point. And, you know, one of those classic Vampire Diaries, someone just shoots through the air.
Yeah, special effects went crazy.
Yeah. And we see Bonnie roll up on the scene down the little path that Elena and Greta walked down in the last episode. And she's chanting a spell. And Greta turns toward her to try to, you know, stop her or do a counteracting spell, something. But Damon snaps her neck just in time before she can do anything. And then Damon goes over to Elena's body and sort of like picks her up gently. And we cut back to Bonnie, who's still chanting a spell. She looks so powerful. She is everything. And Klaus is screaming, no, I thought you were supposed to be dead. Very, like, villain tropey.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
They're really amping it up in this one. And Bonnie just keeps chanting, and Klaus cries out, like, he's in pain. So she's definitely, like, making him more vulnerable. Yeah. And we go back to Damon and Elena, and Damon, like, has carried Elena over to Stefan's body, and he just, like, gently lays her next to him, which I love. Like, I know he's probably just, like, setting her down so he can pull the stake out of Stefan's back, which is what he does next. But I'm like, there's just something
sweet about it.
Something sweet about the fact that he brought them together. And Stefan tells Damon to get Elena out of here, but that he is going to stay until Klaus is dead. Like, he's going to make sure this goes down. So Damon does. He, like, picks up Elena and takes her out. And, you know, Bonnie keeps going. Leaves are blowing. The classic witch spell signs. And Elijah rolls up out of nowhere and walks over to Klaus and hits him with a, hello, brother.
This show's so iconic.
This show is so iconic. Oh, love. And Stefan sort of goes to stand with Bonnie at this point because now he can get up with the stake out of his back. And Elijah plunges his hand into Klaus's chest, grabs onto his heart and says, in the name of our family, Niklaus.
Ah.
I love him. He's iconic. Elijah has done no wrong ever in my eyes.
He's about to,
but also not because I love the original's arc. Yeah. But anyway, Klaus cuts him off before he can really even finish saying anything. And he's like, I didn't bury them at sea. Like, just, you know, pleading with him, of course.
Yeah. If you kill me, you'll never find them.
Exactly. If you kill me, you'll never find them. Of course, calling back to the Stefan conversation. He's talking about his siblings.
Yeah.
And Stefan and Bonnie are standing right there. And Stefan is like, do not listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
But Klaus keeps saying, you know, he keeps egging him on. He's like, if you leave me alive, like, I'll take you to them. And Klaus says the magic words. Yeah. I give you my word.
Yep. I will reunite you with our family.
Yes.
Important distinction word he's giving here.
Exactly.
Yes. I will reunite you with our family, yes. Elijah. I give you my word.
That he does.
Very tempting offer. And Bonnie says that if Elijah does this, she'll take both of them out, both Elijah and Klaus. But Elijah points out, like, that will kill you if you do it. And Bonnie's like, I don't care.
Yeah.
At this point, I don't care. And Elijah looks around at them and he says, I'm sorry. And then he just disappears, runs off with them. Stefan and Bonnie start to run towards them, but, like, what were they going to do anyway? Anything. Obviously, they weren't going to catch them. They've disappeared. Which also, I was like, Bonnie, why did you start running? You should have started chanting right then and there.
Yeah.
Freeze spell. Yeah. Stay in place spell.
Freeze spell, yeah.
I don't know, something.
No, I know. It does feel like there should have been something that was done.
Yeah. I love Elijah, but, ooh, this was the most extreme going back on your words that he's ever done, I think. This was, like, really bad.
Yeah, this is so out of character. It's like, ooh.
But it's in character because it's family above all else. Yes. So it's, but we don't know that at this point. This is the establishing, I think, of that.
Yes.
But, of course, he's doing it in the name of his family, obviously. So it's, like, the games. The Michelson games. Mm. I love it.
Perfection.
But Elijah's getting played such a fool.
Yeah.
We'll get back to that. I know.
Elijah, you should know these tricks by now. It's been 1,000 years.
Yeah, we'll see you next episode, you fool.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll get his. Don't worry. Don't worry.
Back at the old witch house, Uncle John is sitting downstairs writing a letter. And Alaric is in the doorway, kind of just, like, pacing. He looks, like, very nervous. He's worrying. We can see it's light outside now. Clearly, a decent amount of time has passed. And Jeremy is sitting reading one of the Gilbert journals when he realizes that what happened to the parent in the spell that they did. And he asks John if he knows what happened. And John says they saved their child and they found peace. And, you know, Jeremy looks very concerned. And John goes over to Jeremy and gives him the letter that he's been writing and says it's for Elena. And he also gives him the Gilbert ring, which immediately Alaric is like, whoa, wait a second.
Yeah, he's kind of like, what's going on?
Yeah, what is going on? And John looks at Alaric and he looks at Jeremy and he says, take care of each other. And then they hear the front door open and Alaric and Jeremy just rush upstairs. Obviously, like, forget whatever's going on down there. Let's go see who's here. And it's, of course, Damon. He's carrying in Elena's body. She's still passed out. And he lays her down on a sofa that's just randomly there now. And he's, like, gently pushing some of her hair out of her face. Yeah. And he says to her, if you come back as a vampire, I'll stake you myself, so don't.
Yeah.
And then he very gently says, because I can't stand the idea of you hating me forever. It's just so sweet. It's such a sweet moment just between just Damon, really. She's dead and nobody else is there, so yeah. It's very sweet that he does this. And I love how he also has humor in such like a serious moment of making a joke like that. And so of course Alaric and Jeremy rush in at this point, and Jeremy asks how Elena's doing, and Damon is just looking at her. He is not looking away. Mm-hmm. He's like locked in just watching her, and he says that they don't know yet. And Alaric immediately asks about Jenna, and Damon finally looks away. And he kind of just gives a look, and his expression says it all. And Alaric just says no. And Damon says, I'm sorry, Jeremy. It's clear as day. Jenna is dead. She didn't make it.
Yeah.
And Uncle John comes upstairs, and he goes outside. This scene's going to get me.
Yeah.
And he looks back inside just as we see Elena jolts to life with a heavy gasp. And Damon is right there for her when she wakes up. And, like, he's the first thing she sees. I think she says Damon is the first thing she says, too.
Yeah.
And he asks how she feels, and she says she feels fine. And outside, John is watching the scene unfold. And he seems kind of, like, calm and peaceful. Mm-hmm. And he turns to look off at the woods. And then he shuts his eyes, and he falls to the ground dead. At this point in the episode, I'm sobbing.
Oh, my God. Yeah. This is how you do a redemption arc.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I know.
When John comes on the scene in season one, I'm like, I never expected to even care if this person lived or died. But
I know.
Oh, my God.
Two episodes before this, I would have been like, I don't care if he lives or dies.
I know. So much longer ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Not even that long ago. You get to this, and even on a rewatch, there's just something so tragic about him willingly giving his life in order for her to live a human one, in order to get the life that she wants. It's so powerful. It's so emotional. Yeah. It's only going to get worse when we get to, like, the later bits.
Yeah, it's really only amplified by, like, the letter, which, we saw him writing.
Yeah. But we do get an emotional break from all of that for a second.
Yes. Truly, this episode is a roller coaster. This right now is no exception. We cut back to the Lockwood Mansion, where Caroline and Tyler are there. Tyler is, like, laying on the couch. He's been resting after getting shot.
He's naked, just wrapped in a blanket for some reason.
Yeah, which... it's so confusing because I just realized, like, a little bit ago, they're in his house. He has clothes upstairs, presumably.
Like, I know he was shot, but Caroline can bring him some pants. Like,
Or a shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But he's just laying under a blanket, presumably naked. At least that's how they're making it look.
Yeah.
And Caroline is telling him to never leave again. And they're just having
kind of having a moment.
Yeah, they're kind of having their moment.
Because she says that Matt broke up with her, and they, like, kind of cuddle, like she curls up into his side, which he's all, oh, sorry, like gunshot wound, whatever. And I don't know. And then Caroline, like, really starts sobbing here. I was like, girl, you're doing all of this over Matt Donovan. Yeah, be real.
You're better off.
Be real.
Oh my God.
So Tyler, like, hugs Caroline in to comfort her, and she's, like, leaning into his chest. I was like, not them cuddling on the couch while he's butt-ass naked under that blanket.
That's what I was thinking.
Like, what is going on? What? These two are so unserious, and everything else is so serious. So I know.
This is what I'm saying. Whiplash. I'm like.
Truly whiplash.
Oh, I'm like hysterically laughing just because I'm so emotional. I'm like.
Yeah, because if we really want to get into the whiplash, the next scene.
Oh my God.
Clearly now some amount of time has passed. We see Damon and Stefan downstairs. They're dressed in their nice suits. They're clearly like ready for a funeral. Yeah. And Damon says as much. He tells Stefan that he compelled some grave diggers he found, and there were enough plots in the family Gilbert plot, and so things are ready for a funeral today.
Yeah.
And Damon asks Stefan how Elena is doing, and Stefan says she lost the only parents she had. Like, she's in shock.
Yeah.
Cut to upstairs. Elena is getting ready, and she's looking at the mirror, putting in her earrings, and she sees on her mirror she has a photo of Jenna, and then she sees a photo of her parents. In case we forgot how much this girl has lost, just a reminder.
Yeah.
And Jeremy walks in, and, you know, she's saying, I'll be ready in a minute. And he gives her the letter from John and the Gilbert ring. And Jeremy starts to leave, but Elena stops him, and she says, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that you've lost so many people. Again, like Steph, and they just apologize for things that are not their fault. And he says, I still have you.
Oh, stop.
Which breaks my heart.
I know.
I see why she burns her house down when he dies. Like, I wouldn't be able to go on.
No, honestly, I was thinking through this scene. As, like, we've mentioned many times before, there aren't really a ton of, like, Elena Jeremy scenes where they just get to be siblings.
But when there is,
oh, the fact that he says, I'm like, I would burn my house down too. You're so right.
Yeah, oh, and Elena smiles and they hug each other. And then Jeremy leaves so that Elena's left alone to sit in her window and sit down to read John's letter. And Skinny Love starts playing.
Oh, my God.
You know what's about to go down when Skinny Love by Birdie starts playing. This is my number two biggest, maybe number three biggest tearjerker episode of the series. This is one that, like, no matter how many times I have seen it, I will sob.
Yeah.
And it, if it wasn't already getting me up until this point, which I've already said a few times that it already was.
Yeah.
But by this point, as soon as you hear Skinny Love, it's over.
It's
over. If you've made it this far, you're not making it past this moment. Because then we, of course, also get the voiceover of John's letter as Elena's reading it. So we're going to have to read some of these lines. I'll read the first one. Elena, it's no easy task being Elena, it's no easy task being an ordinary parent to an extraordinary child. I failed in that task. Oh, what a way to start.
Oh, my God.
And then, of course, the voiceover carries us into the next scene where we see at the cemetery Elena, Jeremy, Stefan, Damon, Caroline, Bonnie, and Alaric have arrived, all dressed in nice black clothing. It feels like the highest respect being paid, you know, for the people they lost. And John's voiceover is continuing, and he's saying that he's haunted by how things have played out, that if he'd been more willing to hear her side of things. And Elena has four roses in her hand, and she kneels down to the two graves. We see two new fresh graves, and she lays down a rose on each one. And John, his voiceover continues, and he says, this is a chance for Elena to get to grow old and do better with her own child, which is why he's left the Gilbert ring to her. And we see Elena just, like, teary-eyed, and then she goes over to her parents' grave, which is right there.
Oh,
this is what's going to get me.
I know.
And she kneels down, placing the last two roses in her hand on each of her parents' graves. And it cuts to Bonnie's face when Elena sees her graves. And she just, like, looks so devastated for her.
I know. That was such an interesting choice to cut to Bonnie.
Yeah.
And show how Bonnie's reacting to all of this. I'm like,
it's something about seeing, like, a true friend who, like, loves and cares for her, like, reacting to, like, how much Elena's had to lose. That's just, like, so impactful. And John's voiceover is still continuing, and he says, I don't ask for forgiveness or that you forget, only that you know that whether you're a vampire or a human, I've always loved you, and I will always love you. Ugh. So sad.
Cut.
Rachel is literally sobbing.
So am I.
Producer Shay on the sides is so. Do we keep going? What do we do?
I'm good.
Okay, I'm gonna keep going. A little pause there because everyone in the room is openly sobbing. I'm holding it together just barely.
Yeah.
Elena is also openly crying at this moment, and she makes eye contact with Damon, who's kind of, like, moved away from the rest of the group. And it feels like a reminder that he's now one of those people that, like, she cares about. And she stands up and moves back, and Alaric moves forward. Alaric really gets me in this one.
I know.
Alaric places a single rose on Jenna's grave. He looks devastated. Poor Alaric, starting the dead girlfriend arc, too. Like, obviously, oh, Isabel was his first dead girlfriend, but, like, Jenna, like, this destroys him. Like, we'll talk about it in the next one. There's a lot there. But
yeah, it carries through season three that
this impacts him so heavily. It impacts all of them, realistically, but, like,
yeah.
I mean, Alaric, man. So that's kind of the end of this little moment of the ceremony, I suppose. Yeah. And we later see Stefan go up to Damon, who's, like, really far from the group now. And he tells Damon that they're going to go back to the Gilbert house, you know, I don't know, whatever. And they need to be there for Elena. And Damon's like, I don't want to go. I want to skip. And Stefan insists, like, Elena needs us right now. Like, we need to be there for her. And Damon's trying to, like, pivot. He's like, how are we going to deal with Klaus and Elijah?
Yeah.
Like, we've got to take care of this. He's trying to, like, just get down to business. And Stefan's like, I'm not going to let Elena lose anybody else.
Yeah.
And Damon says, I wouldn't make any promises, brother. And then he shows him and he tells him that Tyler Lockwood bit him the other night. And he shows him the werewolf bite, which, again, the devastation train.
Yeah.
Obviously, Stefan is just, like, devastated to learn this.
Yeah, Stefan is so upset. And he's telling Damon, you know, like, we'll find a cure. Like, if we kept Elena human, we did all this, like, we can find a cure. We are going to fix this, too. And Stefan is just like, we will find a way. Like, I will do this. And Damon is just like, if you want to do something for me, keep this from Elena, because the last thing she needs is another grave to mourn.
It really gets me.
Oh my God. At this point, Damon just like sort of like puts his hand on Stefan's shoulder and walks away. And Stefan watches him. Paul really popped off here. He just looks so sad, so upset. He's like just so visibly like in anguish. Like he's so in agony.
Yeah. Again, I was like sobbing again watching this of like realizing Stefan has to realize that he might lose his brother right now is just like, it's so devastating. Yeah. And we see Damon like walk off into the sunset.
Basically. Yeah. He walks like through some like through the graveyard. And it's like, oh my God. The
sun does look like it's setting or something. I don't know. It's it's such an emotional ending. And this episode, I think, is truly the finale of season three. And like,
I think so.
Or season three, season two. In a plot way. You know, it is the thing that wraps up the Sun and the Moon curse, the Klaus arc, the Elijah arc. However, we get the Hangover episode, the next one, the actual finale of now this final plot of the things that are not resolved in this episode. And the biggest one is obviously Damon having a werewolf bite.
Yeah.
But a lot happened in this one.
Yeah. So many deaths, which perfectly brings us to our outro. Deaths uncountable. Jules dies, killed by Klaus. Jenna, of course, dies, killed by Klaus. Elena does technically die.
Yeah.
Killed by Klaus. Greta dies. She's killed by Damon when he swoops in. And John sacrifices himself for Elena. I assume we just want to.
Yeah, he's killed by magic, so I would say it's like a self sacrifice. Yeah.
I think that's everyone, but my God.
A heavy in memoriam. Yeah. I think this is like one of the biggest of the series of like a single episode where people actually die. Not just like, you know, obviously Elena comes back, but I don't know, a lot of real
deaths. Characters too.
Yeah. Crazy. Now for some emotional relief, because you're probably all crying listening to this. For her out of pocket, things we would have done differently. I gotta say, from a writer's perspective, nothing I would do differently. It's such a perfect episode. Nothing to change. But of course the characters are imperfect. Maybe Matt shooting Tyler, that's pretty out of pocket. Why'd he have to do that?
I didn't really have anything specific in mind, but anything that relates to Matt or Caroline and Tyler, like, sure. I'm good with that.
I think going straight for like shooting his best friend right at the top of the episode is pretty out of pocket.
And just being like, it's after us, the thing is after us. Matt is kind of crazy in this.
Dehumanizing. So we'll give it to Matt for our out of pocket moment.
As for quote, I think to me it's pretty obvious it has to be something from John's letter.
Oh, interesting.
So I think I'm going to go with, whether you are now reading this as a human or a vampire, I love you all the same as I have always loved you and always will.
Oh, that's such a sweet one.
Yeah.
I was on the opposite end of the spectrum as usual.
Of course.
I said, I kind of like the symmetry of three women, three goddesses.
I mean, I do really love that. I kind of feel like it should be that.
I think we got to go John. My other one, I did have an emotional one too, was just Jenna No. Because the Jenna No scream from Elena is so seared in my brain.
I know. Like, I can hear it now.
Yeah. But I think we go with John. I think that that's such an impactful part of the episode. Yeah. So, John winner. Last is our song of the episode. This is the easiest one yet. There is only one song in this episode, and it is a song of Vampire Diaries that, it could be up against, like, any other song, and it would be an easy win for the most part.
Absolutely,
It is one of the first songs I think people think of when they think of Vampire Diaries, besides, like, Feels So Close, maybe.
Or A Drop in the Ocean. But yeah, it's
in the top three
to five.
If you ask someone to name a song from Vampires, it's a solid chance that they name this song.
Definitely.
And it's, of course, Skinny Love, covered by Birdie, which plays during Jenna and John's funeral. It's so perfect. Using the Birdie version, so perfect.
Yeah.
I love everything about it. Easiest winner, best song yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, I don't even have any other song, but
There is no other song.
There is no other song, but I wouldn't even if there was. So,
Love it. So we'll be adding Skinny Love by Birdie to our best song of the episode playlist. That playlist is really coming together now that we've got some of these essential songs in there. So you can find that playlist linked in our various bios and descriptions. You can also find links to our Instagram and our TikTok where you can join the conversation. We're always posting fun clips, memes, polls, all sorts of fun things, you know, about the episode. So join us there.
And you can listen to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or you can watch the video version on YouTube if you prefer that. So join us next week for the actual season 2 finale. I can't believe we've already done 2 seasons of this show. That is crazy. And so close to our 1-year anniversary.
Yeah, hint, hint.
We'll have some more things after season 2 before we get into season 3. But join us next week for the finale. Where we'll be talking about As I Lay Dying, obviously As Damon Lays Dying from his werewolf fight.
Yeah. Classic. Hope we see you next week. Thanks for watching and or listening to this one. Bye.